Thank God. Well, we've been talking about, had a series called Seek First the Kingdom of God. Seek First the Kingdom of God. And I believe we are, we've been laying a foundation. There's several of these times, you know, I've started out to go in certain directions, but we'll just get settled on a few verses and we'll just do that. If whatever the Lord has us to do, He knows where we are, He knows what we need, and there's no use rushing past it. Amen? Do you know He knows what we need? Yes, He does. And so there's no use saying, well, I know I'm just going to get past that and go to the next thing. How many of you know that would be a bad idea? Has anybody ever taken math? Everybody's hand should be. Does everybody know what 1 + 1 is? Okay. So you've done a little bit of math. How many of you think it would be a bad idea to skip addition of subtraction, go right to geometry? Or right to calculus? Forget it. I don't need to know this. I got a calculator for that. Bring me right to calc. Anybody taking calc? Well, you know, when you get to that, you know, they'll teach you the slow way to do everything. Like, you know, you learn the slow way to go through it. And the way it's all supposed to work. And then they give you the short formulas after that. But I guarantee you, you have to know how to add to do it. Absolutely, positively. You have to know how to add. And if you think, well, I'm just going to blow by this because I'm a real smart cookie, so I don't need any of this nonsense. I'm just going to go right. You show up, you wouldn't have a clue. You could sit through the whole class, and I'm pretty certain you would learn almost nothing. Why? Because it's totally over your head. Right? Do we know that in the natural? Yeah. So why do we do it in the spiritual? We think it's going to blow by. You know, God's trying to get our attention on something. Have you ever been reading your devotions and you think, you know, it's good to have certain amounts you read or good to have a certain set rhythm? There's nothing wrong with a routine. There's nothing wrong with discipline. Discipline is not a bad word. Do you know that?
Yes.
It's not evil. Discipline is not, you don't throw out discipline. Well, that's discipline. That's you know, I don't want to be tied to anything. Well, there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about, you know, controlling yourself and discipline. There's nothing wrong with that. And so it's not bad to have a routine or something that you're going through the Bible in a certain amount of time, or you just attempt to read some certain thing every day. But how many of you know, if you get to the second verse and the Lord's speaking to you on that, and he's just talking to you about that, there's no use just skipping it and going, well, I got to get this chapter done, so I'm going to blow by it. I mean, God's talking to you about something. You're saying, well, I gotta get my chapter done. Why do you want to get your chapter done? Now, I'm not against anything specific. I'm saying that day you had something you needed to read or you thought you did. Why are you reading the chapter? To hear from the Lord. And then He's talking to you, and you're going to say, yeah, and you're going to tell Him to get out of the way and go by so you can hear from the Lord. He's talking to you. So that's probably what He needs to say to you right now. Now, you want to hear the other thing He's going to say. Well, He's going to go, I'll shut up now. Now I'm going to tell you the real thing. He's not going to do that. So we want to be sensitive to Him and get what He wants us to get at every turn point, right? As we get into something, if He's focusing on something, there's no use. Yeah, I've tried to do that certain times in my message where I had, well, I want to get through this. And I'm, you know, you say, okay, well, that's enough on that. I mean, I don't do this. I'm not saying I do this often. I have done it, which is why I don't do it. Majority of the time, you know. But I'll, every once in a while, you say, well, that's enough. I'll go that, and you hear me. Wait, we're going too fast. We got to go back. Because if God's saying this, and you say, well, that's enough of that. Go out here. Guess what? If you're looking to Him, He's not talking about this anymore. He's back here. So there's no use saying I'm going to do this, because then it's just you. Nobody wants to hear you. Nobody wants to hear me. Just me. You know, we want to hear Him. So, yeah, I believe we've been going through some things and laying a foundation. And just, this takes mind renewal. Because it's so different than the world thinks. What we're talking about here is pretty much counter to anything the world says. You will not find this in secular books. Just not going to. Most of this just runs counter. And they're just not going to talk about these type of things. But let's look at Matthew 6:24. Let's just in review. Let's read through this just for context, and I believe we will get to this next part. hadn't been so the last couple times, but Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. We'll see that. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now look at a few of those verses in the New Living Translation, next scripture there. It says, "No one," verse 24, chapter 6, Matthew, "no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one," or hate one and love the other. "You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Verse 31, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." We spent a good amount of time. That was what we were focused on last week, and we just couldn't get away from it. If you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. I tell you what, that stuck with me all week. And you say, well, you preached it. Yeah, but I didn't intend to go there. It was the Lord that was emphasizing it. And when the Lord brings it through, I mean, there's things when I'll say it, I'll be like, wow, that's good. It's not because it's me. It's the Lord bringing it out. And I'm telling you, he was emphasizing this. It says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God above what? All else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Does that sound like what we were talking about in Proverbs during the offering? Proverbs 10:22. You know, if you go after the Lord, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So you go after him, and he's going to give you what you need, and you're not going to be sorry. You're not going to be down about it. You're not going to be like, oh, I regretted this. You will never have that. You will never regret following the Lord wholeheartedly. Never. 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 Do we all believe that his way is the best way? Yes. I believe in here we do. God Almighty, that his way is the right way. And his plan for your life is the plan. Yes. There is no second plan. Now, as you walk it out, he's going to direct you. It's not written in the Bible. Your plan. Now guidelines and principles, his truth is in the Word. And whatever you believe he's telling you to do ought completely to be in those guidelines and in the Word within those constraints. If you feel like God is telling you to do something that it contradicts Scripture, it's not the Lord. Period. He will never tell you to do something outside. On the other hand, what you're specifically supposed to do for your life is not written in these pages. It's just not. Who you're going to marry, what job you're going to take, where you're going to live, it's just not written there. So you need to get that from the Holy Spirit. But if you endeavor to do that, follow that plan, go that way, give everything to the Lord and say, my life, it's yours. I have given my life to the Lord Jesus. Lord, you do whatever you want with it. You will never be disappointed. And he said he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God above what? All else. Does that include everything else? That's it. Nothing higher. Well, yeah, but this. There's no buts. There is no buts. There are no buts. It's what he would have you to do. Period. And if we say we're going to do that, he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously. Do what he's telling you to do. Live according to the word. He will give you everything you need. Now, if you saw an advertisement in the natural for somebody or some company or some product that said, here, come buy this or come and join our group, and we'll give you everything you need. Number one, people would think, that's fishy. Right? What's your real motive? Right? No, they would wonder about it. But if you really found something that was advertising, it's everything you need. That's a pretty broad statement, is it not? Isn't that what everybody is looking at? Isn't that what he just said? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. All this stuff, they dominate. That means they're thinking about it all the time. They're thinking about their needs. How am I going to get this? How am I going to get this? How am I going to get this for my kids? And what about this? And what about this? And if somebody comes and said, you do this and everything you need, it's all in the package. That sounds pretty good, right? That's what it's saying. That's exactly what God is saying. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Everything. It means you're not going to go wanting. Just like what we said in Proverbs 10:22, you're not going to have any sorrow. You're not going to be saying, oh man, wish I would have had that. Not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. As we follow him, there is no better way. Is it that simple? People say, oh, that's just too simple. We let all this other junk that people are introducing to us, trying to tell us, they're really telling us when they're saying, well, this is maybe not everything, but this is a good portion of it in this area. And then, well, if you do this, this will take care of all of it in this area. And we get that stuff disrupt from what God said. He just covered the whole thing and said, you do this, it'll cover everything. Everything. You'll have everything you need. I mean, God himself has promised this. Let's look down in Luke. It's just reviewing here a little bit. On your sheet there, Luke 16:10. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, it's money. We'll talk about that, or we'll see that in the New Living Translation. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, what do we read back in verse 33 of Matthew 6? It said, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And he said before that in verse 21, you cannot serve both God and money. So now this is in Luke. He's saying in verse 13, no one can serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So you already know from his other statement, you're to seek God above all else, and all in everything you need will be added to you, right? Above all else includes money itself. He's saying, what did he say? If you go after him, live righteously, go put him above all else, put his kingdom above all else, everything you need is going to be added to you, right? And then he says, so you can't serve both God and money. Because if he's above all else, then money's underneath. Now this is where we're really going to hit, because this is so different than this is the crux of the matter, and we're kind of pivoting. This is different than the world system. Everybody say this is different. It's not that you are not going to see this in a secular book about money. They're not going to tell you, well, the first thing you ought to do, if you're getting your finances ordered, your number one thing is make sure you're doing what God wants you to do and do it with your whole heart. Number one.
Yeah,
are they going to say that?
No.
Not if they're not looking. Now, are there some Christian organizations that will tell you that? Yeah, they will tell you. This is number one before anything. Now you start going down. But this is not standard wisdom for operating financially in this realm. It's not. And every one of us has heard what the world would say about the way to manage your money, to use finances, and it does not include this right here.
Right.
And even in Christianity, even in Christian circles, skipping ahead here, but we'll just insert it here, people will talk about financial things and things like giving and receiving, which absolutely does have a part, but they'll skip over, are you doing what God told you to do? And try to operate these other things before the very first thing is, are you where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, seeking Him above all else? Is that the first thing? Because you can't operate these other things when God has told you, you do what I'm telling you to do. It's over here. It's like what we were talking about at the beginning of the service. If God is speaking to you here, and you want to skip ahead to the next part to get your devotion, quote unquote, done, because why? Because you want to hear God? That's backwards. Because He's talking to you here. Likewise, if He's told you to do this, and do it in this area, and do it this way, and you say, yeah, but I want to do this, and will you bless it, and oh, I'm going to send $1,000 to this ministry to make sure it's blessed, it does not work. You've skipped the first thing that says, do what the Lord told you to do. If He's our Lord, then that by definition is that we do what He tells us to do. But He's not everybody's Lord, even if they're a Christian. They ought to be. He ought to be, but it's not true. People will claim Him as a Savior, but then they'll say, well, yeah, but I want to do this and this, and they're not where they're supposed to be. And they're trying to operate all these other principles around it. And then people wonder, well, it just doesn't work. They say, well, why didn't it work? I'd go back to this thing every time. Are you doing what God told you to do, first of all? You can't skip past His ways and what He told you to do and then expect blessing. Did you hear me? They are connected. What you receive from the Lord is connected with what you do on this earth. Did you hear me? Now, it's just because things are available to you does not mean you can receive them any old way. Okay? If I told you meet me here today after service. Let's say I'm coming back at 4 o'clock and I'm going to give you $100. And you said, okay, but you decided you're going to show up at 3 o'clock because after all, that's early. That must be better. Would you, do you have the same ability to receive the $100? You didn't do what I told you to do or what I said I would do. People say, well, I'll just come at 5. Jim's gracious. He'll understand. He'll be there. Huh? People do this all the time. They skip right by, are you doing what the Lord told you to do? In your life, that has so much to do with what you experience financially, and I'm talking about in the blessing of the Lord. Did I say you couldn't get money not serving God? Of course you could, because people are doing it all the time. But look at the rest of their life. If they don't know God, they've already lost, period. When they leave this earth, they're done. You don't want to be in their position. I don't care how much money they have. What else have people given up? You say, well, it looks like they're doing pretty good. You don't know all. If they're not, let me put it this way. If they're not serving the Lord with a relationship with Him and walking with Him and doing what He would have them to do, they're not living the plan that the highest plan for their life. I don't care what it looks like by men's standard, period. Can you get other things? Yeah, you can get all kinds of things by trading something precious for it. You could get certain things now. You could get money by trading your body for it. I mean, there's certain things you could have them. You just give your body to be, for certain people to do all kinds of tests and trials on. You could get money, but, you know, they don't know exactly what's going to happen, which is why they need tests, and you don't know what's going to happen there. And so maybe you traded your health for it, but you got money. Money's not much compared to your health. You know, you could trade working in the wrong place at the wrong time for your marriage or your kids. There's people that pay you a lot of money to go do some very extreme things around the world, but what are you giving up for it? I'm not saying it's bad if God led you to do it, but what I'm saying is, yes, you can go get money. Yes, you can go, you know, you can get all kinds of things if you'll trade something for it. But that would violate what we talked about in Proverbs 10:22. God won't add sorrow to it. See, I don't want the stuff. I don't want some of these things that what the world is looking for. I want, see, God's way will not, you won't have to trade any of that for it. You won't have to be, you know, when you're, after you've spent your life, and you won't have to look back and shake your head and have an ache in your heart and say, if only I would have, if only I would have. That won't exist. You will have run your race, done to the best of your ability what God told you to do, and be satisfied and say, now kids, family, you know how I've taught you. You do the same thing. You keep running. I'm going to see you in heaven in a very short time. We'll see you later. It doesn't have to get to the end going, oh, I wish I would have. Oh, I wish I would have. Oh, I traded the wrong thing. I traded all those hours and I had the money, but look at where my kids are. You don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. That's not God's way. It's not. See, He told us that if we'll just put Him above it, above everything, that we'll get to where we're supposed to be and we'll have everything we need. Right. Guys, it's that simple. What that looks like for every person is different. Now, I'm not saying different that it violates the Word. It will never violate the Word. But where you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to do it, be doing it, your call, your path is different. So you don't get to look off your neighbor and say, well, I'll just copy yours. You know, like, you know, you're working in school, and it's like, well, that's good enough. You know, we'll just do it your way. You know, we'll work together, and I'll just do it your way. It doesn't work like that. It works for an assignment. It doesn't work for an assignment from God because they're all unique. So you have to take principles, and then you have to apply them in your life, which means you need to know the Lord. I need to know the Lord. I need to know His Word for myself, because I can't go to you and say, well, is this what I should be doing? God doesn't tell me everything for your life or anybody else's. Now, could I discern some things from the Word and by the Spirit? Yes, but He's not going to lead you generally like that. You ought not to be looking to everybody else and saying, well, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? Now, that's not the same as I believe I'm supposed to be do this. I'm checking up with somebody that's further than me and say, does this bear witness? That's a different thing. That's not the same as I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get it from somebody else, because God will speak to you about what He wants you and your family to do. And yes, other people, it's not a bad thing to confirm it with somebody that you respect that's further and say, does this bear witness with you? That's not the same as, what should I do? It's like, I'm sensing this. What do you think? I mean, not even think. What does that do on the inside? There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the same thing as, I don't know what to do. Can you tell me? What are some ideas? God doesn't operate that way. Now, if you really were in that stage of life or wherever, it's like, what should I do? You could talk with somebody you trust and say, here, you know, I'm confused about some things. Can you help me with some options? That's different. That's laying out some options, and now you take them and run with them and decide in that set is what God would have me to do, the right thing. That's fine too. But just saying, tell me what to do. You don't go to a man with your life, which is the most precious thing you have, and put that in another man's hands and say, you tell me what to do. Right. You don't ever do that. No, God will deal with you, and you're responsible, and I'm responsible for our lives and how we're living it and what we're doing. So we can't put anything above that. What would He tell us on the inside? We're responsible for the direction of our life. To whom? To God. We're going to give an account. That's not popular today. People say, well, it just doesn't matter. It matters. You only have so many years, so many minutes, and they're ticking away right now. Now, you can go nuts with that and be weird with it, but it's not bad to respect it. As a man, you just go nuts and try to be nervous about it. And, oh my gosh, a minute went by and I didn't use it the right way. That's not what you should do. But at the same time, you ought to respect the fact, as we're talking, you're here. Is this what you ought to be doing? Is this the best use of your time? If you're hooked up with this church, this is where you ought to be. This is what we're supposed to be using these precious seconds and minutes for, because you're getting imparted with things that will help you spend your other precious seconds and minutes and hours the way you ought to. We ought to respect that. We only have so much time. That is the most precious resource we have. Money is not it. Let me tell you, again, money is not the most precious resource any of us have. You know why? It can be replaced. You can lose money today and you can gain it back tomorrow. You can't get back time. Don't matter how much you wish. Don't matter how much you regret. Doesn't matter how much you cry. You spend it, it's gone. It is the most precious resource you have on this earth is time. It is not money. There, then why would you ever have a risk or take the risk of going in a direction that could possibly waste your time, waste years, waste 5 years, waste 10 years, going down the wrong path because of money? Ever. Well, they're paying me $20,000 more. That's nothing compared to 10 years of your life or even a year of your life. You could get it back. And how do you know? What did God say? What did Jesus Himself say back in verse 33? He said, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So if you start saying, yeah, but the money, you are ceasing to be led by Him and now starting to be led by a temporal thing that can be replaced. That's not the same as being led by the Spirit. Let me say this. There are no no-brainer decisions when you're following God. Seriously. You think, well, you're making, so much money right now. Let's just say, because it's not realistic, let's say you're making $1,000 right now, a year, and somebody for the same job in a different place offered you $1 million. People in the world would say that's a no-brainer. That's not a no-brainer if God doesn't want you there. Do you realize what that could cost you? The call of God, you know, what you're doing with him in those next several years that you're going to be there. What are your kids going to get? What's that going to do to your marriage? What's it going to do to your health? Those are all much more important than, I don't care if it's $1 billion. If it's $1 trillion, you're saying, you're nuts. With $1 trillion, you could do all kinds of things for the gospel. That's backwards thinking. Who's telling you to go here? Don't you think God knows how much money you need? Yeah, but we could do all this for the gospel. If the Lord, the head of the church, tells you to be over here, and you say, yeah, but I'm going to go over here, even though he told me to be over here, and I'm going to use it to forward the gospel, I have just disobeyed him for the sake of money and then said I'm going to use it. That's just completely backwards. You don't ever be led by money. Don't you think the Lord knows what you need to do what he told you to do?
That's right.
It may not look like it. See, if you start being led by natural things, you're on the enemy's territory.
Yeah.
He can monkey with it. He can make it look like the best opportunity ever, but he knows full well what's coming down the road. If he can get it dangling in front of you and say, ooh, doesn't this look good? That's why you have to be led. I don't care what it looks like. And money, being led by money is not the same as being led by the Spirit of God. They're not the same. They're not the same. Everybody say they're not the same. Say this, being led by money is not the same as being led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you told somebody this, seriously, if you told them, you know, I'm making $10,000, but I have the opportunity to make $1 billion in the next year. But I'm not sure if I should take it. They would look at it and go, are you nuts? Where is it? I'll take it. Will they hire me? They would not, seriously, they would not even think about it. They would throw it out. You think, that's almost nuts. I would have to take that. Thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong.
That's right.
You can't think like that. What is worth? Tell me the dollar amount that is worth you giving up obeying the Lord while you're here on this earth. Or tell me the amount that is worth your marriage dissolving. Tell me the amount that is worth one of your kids not serving God because of the decision you made to make $1 billion. Tell me, what is the amount of money that you say, that's enough, I'll do it? The answer ought to be nothing. Right from the get-go, when you say disobey the Lord for what amount, you say, I'm out. I don't care. You can dangle whatever you want in front of me. Not doing it. It's worth nothing to me. I will not get out of the will of God for any amount of money. When I stand before the Lord Jesus, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. I don't want to look at him and he says, why did you go after that stuff that is on the earth? And it doesn't mean anything now. But look at the lives that were not touched because of what I wanted you to do. And you did not do it. But you had the money that now means nothing up here. And I'm saying in heaven. When you look around heaven, I don't think we are going to think anything about the stuff here. We're going to say, well, that's a sad replica of what I'm seeing here. This is what it's supposed to look like. Good night. Look at this. This is amazing. And I was chasing what? I was chasing what to buy what? What was I thinking? The answer is, I wasn't looking at what is truly valuable. I was being swayed the same way that the Gentiles or the people, the unbelievers are. And I was looking at something else. Jesus addressed this, did he not? I mean, what we're reading right now, is this Jesus we're reading or a man? He knows how people, you think Jesus knows how people think?
Yes.
God, does he know that this is going to be a pressure point in our lives?
Yes.
Yeah, he knows that. And he said, don't go the wrong way. He said, you can't, don't be deceived. Didn't he say it? Look at, he didn't say, don't be deceived here. He's saying in verse 13, he said, no one, Luke 16:13, no one can serve two masters. No one. And then he says, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot do it. No one can do it. We can't determine what we're going to do based on the money factor. You can, you shouldn't. There's too much involved. There's too much at stake. We need to realize the Lord, He warned us about this. Look over at 1 Timothy. Let's turn there in your Bible, please. 1 Timothy 6. Thank you, Lord. First Timothy 6. Everybody there? Verse 6. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, let's go back and read verse 3. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which he accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Does that go along with Proverbs 10:22? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Does that go along with Matthew 6:33 that we saw? Seek first, or put it above all else, and he'll give you everything you need. Right? If you do, if you're godly and you're contented, that's great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world. Is that true?
True.
And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, is that true? Nothing. We're not taking anything. We can take people, which are far more precious than anything. We can't take them out actually when we die, but our influence on them can help them to make the right decision so that we see them again. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be what? Content. You'd be content with it. I said this before. I mean, what when you're saving for retirement or thinking about retirement, what's the basic thing you're talking about? You're talking about you're talking about existing, being able to have food, clothing. You know, place over your head. Doesn't mention that here, but I mean, you got to go somewhere. But it's to have the resources to be able to continue on, isn't it? I mean, basically, you're talking about existing, and he's saying we ought to be content. That ought to mean, when you're talking about what you're going to do in life, you ought to say, number one, is it the right direction for what God has called me to do? You ought not look at all this other stuff. It ought to pale into comparison with, is that what God has told me to do? And I ought to be content there and take him at his word that if I'm doing that, he's going to give me everything I need. But I'm not like got this itchiness to like, well, but it doesn't have this. Okay, if I'm saying I'm going to make a decision, I'm saying, well, it doesn't have this. I have to go back and say, is this the right choice? If I go back and say, is this the right choice? And the answer is yes. He's already told me he'll give me everything I need. Doesn't matter what I see. If I'm itching and saying, well, it doesn't have this yet. That's right. If it's something you truly need, guess what? God already said, I'll give you everything you need, didn't he? So you can't go by what you see. We can be deceived by what we see. The Holy Spirit is not deceived. And if he's bearing witness with your spirit, the devil cannot counterfeit that. He can counterfeit stuff out here. He does have influence. He can get stuff to look. He can get people to offer you certain things. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. I'm saying it's the world system. It's pretty easy. People are not looking to God. They're pretty easy to push through thoughts and things. Verse 7 says, we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich, didn't say those who are rich or are yielding everything they have to God. It said those that desire to be rich. You can desire to be rich and have nothing. Yet all you think about is money, 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 money. How am I going to get it? And you are more money-minded than somebody that's sitting on $1 billion and is content and is using it for the glory of God. It is not about the money. See, if you're money-minded, if you desire to be rich, you will be subject to making wrong decisions concerning money because you'll think about, is it going to get me rich instead of, is it going to glorify God and is it the right path for my life? You've opened yourself up. And what, that's exactly what he says here. He says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare. What's a snare? It's a trap. It's a trap. You're not caught, but you dangle something. You know, an animal's not caught, but you put something in there that he wants. He doesn't know that it'll cost him his life, but he sees it and it looks good, and so he goes into it, and then he's trapped. It's a snare. The devil knows this, and he uses the same thing on people. People are not as smart as they think they are. We as a race are not as smart as we think we are. We're manipulated all the time. How do you know that? Millions of people confess there is no God now. How dumb is that if you've been created by the king of the universe and you've been convinced that there isn't a king of the universe, there is no creator, when in fact you are the product of one and you are created to follow him, yet you don't believe there is one? What does your life mean at this point?
Nothing.
You're just a tool. That's all you are at that point. You're a tool. You're going to be influenced by somebody, and if you're closed off to God and you believe he's not real, he can only get to you based on other people's goodness. They can pray for you. They can send words across your path to break that cloud. But you've closed yourself off. Well, it's a trap. The devil does this all the time. He uses things that are temporal that he knows are going to hurt the person. He knows they're going to be ensnared. But even Christians, if they get their mind on something other than obeying the Lord, they are subject to this temptation. And it's very clear. Timothy says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Mess up their lives. Why? Because they want to be rich. And you don't even have to think, well, you're thinking, well, I don't really want to be rich. I just want money. It's the same thing. It's the love of money. It's the lust. I'd be good with $500,000. I'm not going for $1 billion. Come on. $100,000 is good for me. It's the same thing, because if you'll do it for $10, you'll do it for $1 billion. It's the same thing. So when is it right to steal? Ask yourself that. Is it okay if it's a penny? Is it okay if it's $10? Well, I'm not stealing $1 billion. It's the same thing. What will you be convinced to disobey the Lord for? What amount? It should be no amount. Well, then the desire for riches in and of itself should be, we got to squash it, we got to realize it's very real, and we've been sold it over and over and over and over. You're bombarded with it. I'm bombarded with it every day. If we're exposed to any type of media, if we're exposed, if you walk, drive down, you know, the interstate and you see signs, and if you see buses go by and they have ads anywhere, people talking about stuff they have, just driving through town, you see something that you want. These things, it's not the things. It's the desire for something other than what God would have for us. He's not saying, we go back to Matthew, he said, he knows. He said, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, and he knows you need them. He already knows that. That's a done deal. He's not blind to that. He's not, you know, archaic. He knows where we live. He knows we live in 2015 and what's available. And he also knows what we actually need. And he said, if we'll just listen to him, obey him, we'll have everything we need. But this thinking right here will open us up to piercing us through. It's going to say here in a moment. But he said, the desire to be rich. Those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money. It does not say money. It does not say money does these things. It says the love of money. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's a stern warning, isn't it? It says people that go after money. And people, you know, when we talk about this, I think we get the idea that it's some, you know, just money greedy, slick person that's just going to do everything they can to go after money. And so we say, that's this stereotype. I'm not there, so I'm okay. It does not say that. If you love money more than you love him, and you say, well, I never do that. How are our decisions made? We just put it right, point blank. How do we make certain decisions? If the answer is, well, this paid more. Well, this was cheaper. It can go the opposite way. Well, I didn't want, you know, this was cheaper, so I got that. Is that the way you were supposed to go? Well, that costs too much. That would be too hard, so I can't do it. But what if the Lord's telling you to do it? Doesn't he know? Well, this is so much more money. This would be good for my family. Wait, did the Lord tell you to do it? See, you don't have to be in this category. What do you make the decision on? What are you loving? If you love money, and we wouldn't put it that way. We'll distance ourselves from certain things because we'll use a stereotype in our mind. Well, I don't love it. I mean, I like it. Who wouldn't want an extra 10 grand for herself, you know? We'll dumb it down. But at the end of the day, we should be asking, Is it trying to snare me? I don't want that unless that's the way the Lord has me. Because if that's the way the Lord has me to go, I don't care. The money's less, the money's more, it'll be fine. God will supply everything. But if it's more and I'm wrong, it could cost me a lot more. I don't say you get into fear about it. Don't get into fear about it. But respect it and respect the Lord. When you're making decisions, say, why am I really making this decision? What's the driving factor? If you ever find yourself, you feel impressed to do a certain thing by God, but you start making excuses based on money, you really need to stay where you are, but you're itching to go to a different place of employment. And you talk about it, and it's like, well, yeah, but it's more money. Now, I could get more, and I could do more, but you really feel like you should stay put, that should be a flag. If the reason is, yeah, but it's more money, you're on the verge of falling into a temptation that's going to take you away from something more precious. You should check and say, what's the real motivation for this decision? Why am I making it? I can smoke screen. You can smoke screen other people. You know that. Well, you can make it sound spiritual. Well, I'm going to make more and I can give more and my family's going to be blessed. And all the while, you know you're talking over it. You're talking over it. The real issue is, you know you're supposed to be here. You can fool people. You can't fool God. If he asks you to do something, it doesn't work like this. Here is the best plan I have for you. You decide you don't want to do it, so suddenly this becomes the best plan. It does not work like that. And I'm not saying don't get into legalism. I have to walk it out perfectly. You're not going to walk it necessarily out perfectly. Your heart ought to be to walk it out perfectly. And your heart's like that, you won't miss it. If you're not in a hurry and you're going to hook up with him and you're not in a hurry to try to get something done or whatever, and you're going to be like, okay, God, I want your will above all else, you won't be distracted by the flashy. Well, look at this, look at this, look at this. You'll be like, okay, fine, it's shiny, but is that where I'm supposed to go? If you find yourself saying, yeah, I feel comfortable in a piece here, but this is so shiny, be wary, because we just read about it right here. You may look shiny right now, but where are you going to be in a year? What are you going to be thinking about in 5 years? You know if it's what God told you to do, he said he would add everything you need to it. You know you have a promise from the Almighty. Either his word's going to fail or you're going to have what he said. And I guarantee you it's not going to be the first one. His word will not fail. Over here, you don't have that guarantee. Well, I knew I was supposed to do this, but this was so shiny. What is Timothy saying? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Well, I'm not greedy. I just want a little more. It's the same thing. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You don't want to be pierced. Does anybody in here say, you know what? What I'm really thinking about 5 years from now, the place I want to be is sitting on my bed crying my eyes out because I made a decision that I lost all kinds of time and lost all kinds of relationships for the wrong decision, and I just want to feel that regret. No. Is anybody saying that's my idea of a good time? No. 5 years from now, I want to be just devastated. Yeah. You don't want to look back. Well, Timothy tells us right here, don't do it. He tells you right here, some people have done this. Don't let that be you. And he says that right in the next one. But you, O man of God, flee these things. What does flee mean? It means to run away from it. So like if a building's on fire and you're fleeing it, it's to get away from that place to go somewhere else. Why? Because there's a fire. Fire. Right? It's a fire there. You want to get away from it. He's saying, if you see these things, you better back off and say, wait, what am I supposed to be doing? Wait, I can see this. I'm being pulled this way. Don't say this. I just made the decision in the heat of the moment. You better cool the thing down. Don't go fast. Just start saying, wait a minute. Okay, I'm really tempted by that. I need to decide. And just to discern, is that the Lord? Is that what the Lord would have me to do? And if that's the case, fine. If everything else, that's what God wants me to do, that's what the Lord would have me to do, then I'm fine going that way because everything will be taken care of. But if it's not, I want to know now. I don't want to find out 5 years from now. I'd rather know now. Now. And if it's God today, it will be God tomorrow. God does not set you up that you have to make something in the next 30 seconds or else you're going to miss it. The devil does that. People, con artists, do that all the time. Don't miss out. Don't they? You're going to miss it. Why? It's pressure. It gets you to not think clearly. God won't do that. If you need to make a decision in 30 seconds, it's because God has already prepared you to make decisions that fast, and it's just normal to you, and you'll feel peace about doing it, and you'll do it, and you won't look back. But it will not come up all of a sudden like there's not this fear of, I just don't know how I'm going to do this, and this is too fast, but I'm going to miss out. That's not God. You just back away and say, okay, nope, I got to know. My time's too precious. That money's not, I'd rather miss the opportunity than miss God. I won't do it. He'll take care of me. Amen. God is good. His way is the best way. We have an opportunity every day that we can walk out what he would have for us. It's precious. Precious. Hallelujah.